Good evening. Bruce said he looked at the title of this sermon. He said, I wonder where in the world he's going to go with that one. So I'll explain it to him a little bit this morning. About, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years ago when I was writing a lot of blogs, I wrote a blog on walls and talked about walls that got in our own lives. And I was going to reshare that out this past week, and I read it over, and it had a notation in there about the walls of Jericho. So I climbed on the internet and started researching the walls of Jericho and came up with several different lessons that could be learned from the walls of Jericho. So what I did, I decided to put the two of them together. So the text this evening, we're going to talk about an old story that most of us know, but I want to revisit it. And our text comes from Joshua chapter 6. Verses 1 through 20. So what we're going to do, we're going to read that. And then I want to share the seven lessons that I found that I want, the lessons for us in our own lives. And then I want to share what I had written in that blog to bring it into a parallel of how we can tear down walls in our own lives. So Joshua 6, starting with verse 1. Said Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went in, none came out. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Make note here, this wall around Jericho basically was impenetrable. It was big, it was huge, it was thick. And this is what Joshua is being told to go around this city. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you will shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. Then 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. On the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day. And they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. That's the story of the falling of the walls of Jericho. So what do we learn from that? When I was researching this, there were multiple lessons in there. I pared it down to seven. Lesson number one, follow God, even if the journey seems impossible or unexpected. When you look at this story, the walls of Jericho were impenetrable. They should have been strong enough that no one could have gotten in, and they were. What Joshua and the Israelites were up against may have seemed impossible to overcome, but they followed God anyway, with full trust and full hope in God's promise and faithfulness that he would indeed fight for them to claim the land that was promised to them. Christians can know that even if the path seems impossible, many times it does, or it's not what we expected, we run into things we don't understand or don't know. When we follow God's plans for us, it will be worth all the steps we take on the way. The biblical story that we have here with the walls of Jericho reminds us how crucial it is that we need to lean on God. And we need to put our trust in God, because that's when the impossible can happen. Follow God, even if the journey seems impossible or unexpected. Lesson number two. When we listen, now God gave us two ears and one mouth, right? So we can listen twice as much as we talk. When we listen, we can hear God speaking to us. God spoke to Joshua, and Joshua listened. Because Joshua took the time to listen to God and seek his direction, he heard clearly from the Lord what steps to take. It was laid out before him. We today, as Christians, learn a valuable lesson from this about the importance to hear from God. When we stop and take time to listen, some of us that's rarely, some it's often, but when we stop and take time to listen, we listen through reading of Scripture, spending time in prayer, maybe just being still in a room by yourself, and worshiping. We may hear from God, and we may see how he is guiding our steps. When we listen, we can hear God speaking to us. But we have to take the steps in order to hear what he's trying to tell us. Lesson number three. God is purposeful. He's not just random. If you look at the story, God did not instruct Joshua and his army to storm the city upon arrival. He didn't tell them, just go after it, go get them. He had steps for them to take in order for them to achieve the outcome that they wanted, that being a victory. Now we look at that story, God was specific, and he was purposeful. and how he orchestrated the walls of Jericho to fall. Step by step by step, over 7 days, he gave instructions explicitly how to do that. Now think about it. If God is that purposeful about helping the Israelites claim the city, we can be confident in our lives that God is also that purposeful in each of our lives. He has a plan laid out. We run into ups and downs of life. We may feel, these things may feel unexpected. They may catch us off guard. But God always knows what's coming. And he'll make good out of all circumstances for who? Those that love him. Those that are obedient to him. Our lives are meaningful and significant. And we say, well, it's because God is writing each of our stories. He knows each and every one of us. He knows where we're headed. He knows what we're doing. But moreover, he knows what he's doing as he directs us. He is purposeful. He's not just doing things random. I'll give you a freebie, like some of us do. We randomly sometimes go about our lives without purpose. We randomly sometimes go about our jobs and our families without purpose. We don't have a plan. God has a plan. He had a plan for Joshua on how to take these walls down. He has a plan and a purpose for us. Fourth lesson that I found coming out of this. The outcome may not be instant, so keep waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we get impatient. We don't want to wait. Well, the Israelites were not given permission by God to simply storm the city when they were ready. They had to wait 7 days. They marched, they camped, and they waited on God to move. They did what they were told. Perhaps some of the armed men wondered, we don't know, but maybe they did. They wondered as they were marching around the walls if this was really the way to claim victory over Jericho. Now you gotta, just put yourself in their shoes. Here's these men marching around this huge, thick wall. They're told to do this 6 days, once a day, and the seventh day, several times. So that, here they are marching around this city. You got to know in their head somewhere that, is this really going to work? All right? Is this really the way to claim the victory over Jericho? Maybe others thought it would be best to win the city with a proven strategy. What they didn't know is that they had a proven strategy. The problem we have here and what we can relate back to us is we sometimes find ourselves thinking similar thoughts when it comes to waiting on the Lord. We offer a prayer up we wanted answered yesterday. Our time is completely different than God's time. The answer is to keep waiting. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Waiting on the Lord deepens our faith. Because when he does react, when he does do what he's planned on, that helps us with our faith. It increases our trust in him. And while we wait with faith, God has a purpose. He'll transform us and he'll renew us during that period of time. So as we look at that lesson there of waiting on God, because the outcome may not be instant. Lesson number 5. This is hard sometimes. We are not sufficient in and of ourselves. Stop and think about that. We are not sufficient in and of ourselves. I figure, you know, if I've got a problem, there's a lot of other people that have the same kind of problem. A lot of times I wanted to do things on my own. Not so much at this age and this point in life. But younger in my life, it was all about me. I can do it. I don't need any help. And as you grow older and as you get more mature into God's word, you understand that that may not be the case. And we are not sufficient in and of ourselves. Just as the Israelites were not. Without God, they couldn't have done anything. We need God. The Israelites could have marched around the walls of Jericho a million times. They could have blown 1,000 horns. They could have shouted until they lost their voices. But without God's power, the walls of Jericho would never have fallen. That's what caused them to fall. We are not entirely sufficient. We truly need God. Why do we need God? We need God to win our battles, to have us to love others, to overcome challenges in our lives, and to make an impact in the world. We need God in our friendships. We need God in our careers. We need God in our marriages. And we need God in our families. When we are tempted to think otherwise, and sometimes we are, call it human nature if you want to make an excuse. When we're tempted to think otherwise, help, let us find the wisdom from this biblical story that we do need God in all areas of our lives. We are not sufficient in and of ourselves. Number 6, obedience in God matters. What would have happened if the Israelites would have resisted those instructions? Well, no, it's not recorded that way. If the Israelites had resisted the instructions given by God to Joshua, the walls of Jericho probably would have not have come down. They didn't do it the way they were told. The Israelites would have lost. They would have been forced out of the promised land. Their obedience to God mattered. And this is still true for us as Christians today. Obedience is the key to salvation. Living righteously according to God's ways rather than our own ways makes the difference. We find encouragement from this passage to be obedient to God. Joshua and the Israelites were obedient. God laid out a plan for them. They did exactly what he told them. And 7, what God promises, he will fulfill. God promised the Israelites this land, okay? The fall of the walls of Jericho is a reminder that God fulfills what he promises. A huge amount of time passed between when God initially promised the land to the Israelites and when they actually came to enter and claim the land. Didn't happen overnight. Regardless of how much time passes, God's always there to make good on the promises that he's made us. And the biggest promise that he's made, the most important promise that he's made, is if we stay obedient, he will prepare for us a place to live in a home called heaven. God will always make good on his promises. We can trust that God is faithful to his promises. This is also a reminder of God's power. The account of the walls of Jericho coming down is a significant part of God's promise coming to pass that the Israelites would indeed enter into and possess the promised land. This passage in the book of Joshua holds the valuable lessons that as we as Christians can learn from, we can apply to our lives and our understanding of God. Perhaps, maybe some of us are waiting on God to act or react. Or maybe you're wondering if he'll ever come through. Whatever the situation we might be thinking or find ourselves in, the fallen walls of Jericho remind us that God's power and the faithfulness that we have and can believe in and put our hope in. That's the lessons that we learn from the walls of Jericho. If we take a look at a wall is nothing more than a separation from something. It's like that wall over there separates us from the outside. You put a wall around your house, keep the neighbors out, keep the dogs and pets, whatever else out. There's a lot of different walls as we look in the world today. Some are gone. The Great Wall of China. The wall that separated East and West Berlin. The walls in our home. The walls in the backyard or around a piece of property. The wall we build in our own lives. I really believe to some extent all of us have some type of wall that we've created. Whether it's a great wall, a small wall, in our lives. There's different reasons that we build walls. Maybe it's from sexual abuse. Maybe it's from physical abuse. Maybe it's due to mental abuse. Maybe we've been hurt by someone. Maybe we've been lied to. Maybe we've lost trust. You probably could add to that list because it goes on and on and on as to what creates a wall in our own lives. And if you really look at it, brick by brick by brick, walls are built in our own life. They're built over time. And sometimes they're hard to bring down. Sometimes they never come down. It doesn't happen overnight. However, brick by brick by brick by brick, we can destroy those walls. You have to want to. The best example that I could come up with on how to get rid of these walls was the story of the wall of Jericho. The Lord told Joshua simply march around the city once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, march around it 7 times. Then blow the horns, and the people will shout, and the wall will come down. That's the simplicity of the story of the wall of Jericho. The other simple part of it is Joshua did what he was told. And the wall was destroyed. We're told several times in the Bible to give God all of our troubles. Give him all of our fears. Give him all of our cares and stresses. And he's told us he'll take care of them. We have a plan of attack given to us by God, just like Joshua had. So here's the advice I've got in our own lives. When life gives us a brick to add to that wall, give it to God. And at the same time, take one of the bricks that's already in the wall and give that to God also. So now you not only accept the one that was coming in, but you get rid of one. And it's not going to happen overnight, but over time, if you'll take this concept, you can destroy the walls that you've built in your own life. Not an easy task. You got to think that Jericho and the Israelites, Joshua and the Israelites thought that marching around this big wall 7 times was an impossible task. But with God's help and with God's plan, and they did what they were told, it worked. We sometimes think as we walk through life that we can't do certain things. And maybe we can't physically. But we got things in our lives that we try to conquer ourselves, where if we would let God help, it's conquerable. And one of those is getting rid of walls in our own life. Most of them are built over things that were a molehill to start with and turned into a mountain. So brick by brick, take that wall and give a brick to God and don't accept any more. Give that one to him also. Lesson tonight, very simple. Stay obedient. God's got a plan for us. His promises are kept. And the promise he's given us is, if you stay obedient and live your life righteously, I will promise you a home in heaven. And we know he doesn't go back on his promises. So the lesson is yours tonight. If you have a need in your life, if you've not been baptized, the baptistry is ready. We are ready. If you're ready to put your Lord on a baptism, no time like today. Also, if you've got things in your life, maybe you've got some walls in your life, you're having difficulty with them. Maybe you need prayers of this congregation to help with that. We're here for you. But it's hard for us to act or react through prayer if we don't know to do it. So if you got any kind of issues, anything going on, if you want it made known public, let us know.